Her er det Peter von Kohl, der byder velkommen til en udsendelse om romaer. Og det er ikke indbyggerne i byen Rom. Det er et folkefærd, som drager rundt i Europa. Ja, det er i hvert fald sådan, de er kendt. Men der er også utrolig mange, der bor fast. Og der er utrolig mange, og det er det interessante, der integreres så flot i de nationale samfund, de nu engang tilhører. Men de er jo også kendt for at fare rundt og, ja, og nu kommer provokationerne, at stjæle, at tække, at være til gene i det daglige liv. Og at det er et rystende mindretal, ja, der er så få i forhold til de mange millioner romaer, der lever i Europa, ja, det er nok til, at regeringerne ser med, skal vi kalde det forsigtigt, lidt uvenlige øjne, når det drejer sig om at se på romaerne. Men lad os prøve at høre eksperter. Og for mig at se er Livia Jaroka, europaparlamentariker valgt fra Ungarn, selv Roma, nok den mest kyndige. Hun drager i hvert fald rundt i verden og fortæller om romaerne. Også ved møderne, topmøderne på økonomisk-politiske områder i Davos har hun trådt op og talt romaernes sag, og hun gør det glimrende. Lad os høre, hvor glimrende i samtalen med hende omkring, hvordan ser det egentlig ud i dag for romerne.
You have come back to the European Parliament in order to fight, if I may put it that way, the Roma issue at a European level, not only, and only is perhaps the wrong term, in your home country, Hungary. You have been here for 10 years before you left the parliament at the last elections. Now you have 1.5 years where you can do, yes, that's a question, what?
I have a lot of plans, and I worked a little bit getting ready for this October start, because in the last 2 years, basically, I did the same that I started here, except that time it was policy making with the European leaders and with the national ones. This time it's policy doing in the field, opening up schools, creating jobs, making factories, opening up markets for people, getting people ready to live a self-sustained life. For example, this is another thing that became my mania, basically, in the last 2 years while living in the settlements and working there. So I knew that I will scale up the Roma strategy at one point. So I wanted to see how. So I identified 6 new elements in the last 2 years. I can feel in the integration process, the EU needs to use digitalization much more, not only to connect people, but to monitor. Because if you remember, monitoring was always my big issue. Also, I can see that we don't use the resources that are already there around the settlements, not even the clever people, and not the voter, which is under the ground, hot voter, for example, to open up some electrically led small factory for people. The third one was that I didn't get good allies in the business world for this. I didn't make the business people interested in getting the Roma and the other 45 million poor of Europe integrated. So I also started to work on making the companies understand that if the Roma will not be educated, that their success will be going down as well, not mentioning the national economies. And there were other issues which were missing from the Roma strategy. The agricultural one. Also, I will work much more on sort of saving the planet. But what I mean is that to make Roma aware of how much damage we do to the world, us Roma, because of poverty and because of the, for example, in winters, the car tires are being fired. So, for example, last year we made sure that none from the 2000 family puts a car tire on a fire.
This is, may I interrupt you here, one example of in which way many Roma people are contributed to the negative attitude of their surroundings towards them. How to get that close to the Roma populations, the Roma communities, that they have to be aware of. There is a surrounding society which is not too positive because of the attitudes of the Romans themselves.
Yes, yes. With leadership projects, I were able to send young university students, Roma, to areas where they sort of live 5 years. They get a house from the mayor for 5 years only, and they start changing attitudes. So basically, you can only do it if you do it on the daily basis, every single day. This is what I learned. I should have known as an anthropologist, because in many times I was researching projects that didn't work, and I already knew that they didn't work because they were sporadic, or there wasn't a human element into it. Therefore, a good teacher, I mean, a local help from the non-Roma people who would help. So there were not enough connections, for example, in the among the people. So the local community development has slowed down very much. So what?
But you mean the local community development among themselves?
Among themselves, this is what I mean. People became much more cold to each other. They became much more less solidar. While under communism, well, you had to fight the system inside, people were much more solidar. While today, in the big new world, I mean, in capitalism, you can already see how much damage it did to the Roma cultural communities themselves, to the Roma identity. To be Roma before meant that you help. This is what it meant, that you are Roma, that you help everybody, that you don't make trouble, and that you can use your possibilities in a way that you don't hurt anybody else with that. While today, many of the non-Roma are upset with the Roma because they feel that the Roma are misusing their system or their idea or their commitment.
But many times a minority among a people are doing things which has an effect on the majority. But the minority is the one having the attention of both the press and the politics and everything. In my country, Roma beggars are arrested by the police and sent out of the country if possible.
But this is the way it should be.
Yeah, but the effect is then that the Romas who are living an integrated life in the country, in the various countries, are looked upon as being part of the problem.
Very often, what I have seen also in educated Roma, there is a very big no turning back to the community. So whenever you have
To
the Roma community, once you are educated, you don't want to be affiliated as a Roma. So the new positive attitudes that these integrated people have reached, or the ways to reach them, remain unknown to the rest of the Roma, because they are not inserted
in a position where they can talk about it.
And, also, yeah. Or where they can practice it at all. You know, it's also very interesting that there is no solidarity among the Roma anymore to try to help each other in the career field, for example, which is very strange. We also did a Gippo job called job searching company for the Roma, and it was very interesting to see for me that the companies were not ready to hire Roma until I was not taking care of the situation, and I am not promised that the people who I bring are trustable or are ready to work really. And so then that was the time when I felt that the sympathy that were so much here when I came first 2004, when we were all hoping for this integration process to happen, this sort of sympathy is gone, because 10 years went by since we started this dossier in the parliament. Huge European money was spent on Roma and non-Roma poor integration.
And why did it fail?
What I see is what you have just come up with a minute ago, a very weak professional work among the integrators. So we don't have the right people trained yet. Many of the times they are not Roma. And it's a problem. Before I thought it could never be a problem, as I was taught by non-Roma. And I was helped by non-Roma also, and it was never a problem for me to not to have a Roma mentor. I had some role models, but I never met them in life. So I thought that's not so important thing. But now when we started to do the pilot projects and I financed them to see that I can follow the whole situation and I can even jump in when a sudden issue or a sudden problem comes up. I wanted to see really on my own money how much it cost to be poor. And that's why there I felt first that if solidarity would be there and if the cooperation would be present, the integration process would be one-third shorter. One-third time shorter. So the first problem is not the money, but the good people missing. Money is there on the European level. The teachers' training colleges has to be educated more to make sure that the social workers that who are working already in the Western European countries, it's not unusual to have integrator psychologist in every single school here in Western Europe. But while in Eastern Europe, it's nowhere. So, for example, that could change the situation if the teachers were better educated. And also you asked where the problem is really. The many years of segregation created a situation from which is extremely difficult to get back to the integrated society.
That's part of the question I would like to ask you. The main way of looking upon Romas is they are moving. They are not settling down. They are not forming a community. They don't want to be a part of a community. They want to live their own traveling life.
Yes, but not what you are saying now is also clearly showing that you see that we don't have good integrators who are not only ready to integrate inside of the community, but the community but is ready to outsource the community to the Gajo, to the non-Roma world. So we are calling them cultural mediators, yes, in Western Europe, and it exactly says what they should be doing. This is the missing link in Eastern Europe, for example. Also, the structures that you have in Western Europe are much better for integration. Also, you are using the race directive much more vigorously. In Eastern Europe, the race directive is still nowhere. People don't know about it. Then when you are discriminated at the workplace, then there is a body where you can turn to. So sometimes it's only information missing, not even the knowledge, but the information and the connection to get the information.
But behind my question lies also the assumption that there are many, many, many Romas who don't want to be integrated.
This one, as an anthropologist, I can tell you for sure that the Roma who I found with this mentality were the ones who would not be able to, who are too weak to. It's usually, it's a excuse to not to want to integrate, because then among the community you don't seem so stupid. At least inside of the community, you don't seem somebody who want to copy the non-Roma. I never realized an anti-non-Roma sentiment until the non-Roma also started to compete for the same jobs as the educated Roma. And that was the first time in my life when I heard anti-non-Roma sentiment. Educated Roma being angry of the educated non-Roma for taking their jobs. But in all my research, it's proved that it's only the surface. Deep down, every single Roma is into integration because they know that there is no other way. The Roma culture itself is an integrated culture already. What they keep for themselves as Roma, in music, in food, in fashion, in literature, are things that were so much already influenced by non-Roma culture. The Roma culture is always an answer to the non-Roma culture, so it's always a complement. It goes parallel all the time. It changes parallel and it has huge effect on each other.
But Livia Jaruka, aren't you approaching the problem in a very academic way? If the common Dane, for instance, look upon the Romas, they see many times gangs producing headlines on newspapers.
Yes, no connection.
And
at all.
That,
they cannot relate themselves to
exactly.
those criminals,
and
of course.
And by that, they are putting a stamp, so to speak, on the Romas.
Yes.
How to avoid that?
That have been a problem for a long time. That's why I proposed to make sure that there are shared spaces, shared life circles in people's life. Because if you don't know any Roma, of course you are going to believe what the media says. And here we are at the next topic, the media has a huge responsibility, not only the individual, yeah? Because many of the individuals say, yeah, I'm scared of Roma, so leave it, take me. Let me see me with my own eyes. Do I have to be scared or not? And as soon as they arrive and they see that the Roma are the same as the non-Roma, there are nice people among them and bad people among them as well, then the tension leaves us. But until you don't share the same places, you don't go to the same discos, you don't study at the same school, you will never have again mixed marriages, from which I am, for example. So if something can be said good about communism, which is very difficult for me to do, but this is the only thing that open racism was forbidden. So it created a situation when non-Roma were forced to work with Roma in the factories. And this is the way you get to know the other. And this is the way how you create your prejudice. So fighting the gangs will happen in two ways. The Roma has to fight them first. Because until there are Roma gangs, the Roma will be never find their place in Europe, because we will always be famous for the bad issues.
What can you actually do now within this 1.5 year in the European Parliament to improve, mainly, in my judgment, the most important part of the whole game, to have respect towards Romas?
I will show the good stories that I recorded in the last 2 years, and also I'm showing stories where you see the process. So you see that the person was someone in a very difficult situation with also very bad habits already. But then you show, can it be a documentary or it can be anything else, how the person has changed. And then I try to duplicate it. This is what I do, basically. And also I need to get the Roma on board to act, create Roma workforce for police, to make sure that we fight first for our rights, not the non-Roma, the Gajo fight for us. I think it's extremely important that we make clear that we cannot go with those who are criminals. Because whatever you hear on Roma, the first thing that comes to people's mind is that criminality. So this is something that I have to get the media on board to make sure they are ready to show, big time. Not Roma newspapers only or little programs on the television at night, usually, because the integration projects are usually shown during the night. But big time mainstream media. And also, you know what, if you don't have Roma role models already in all the structures, you cannot show them. So I think not a positive action, but some sort of much more designed branding and media coverage of the Roma is extremely important.
Why? What kind of lawmaking could you foresee necessary to improve the situation? Or is it only a question of information?
No. We also made a mistake when we didn't ask for a binding legal backup for the European Roma strategy. Because the countries are doing a good job if they feel like, it seems to me. And because there is nobody and nothing to restrict them to concentrate on the results, on monitoring, on the new ideas and really the scaling up of the small projects. Without this, having nobody is not going to work. So I think it's extremely important that not only the media shows a different picture, but also those Roma who make it, they make sure that new ones are coming after them, so that the Roma don't turn back on their community, don't turn their back on their community once they make it. That's also very important. That's why I also put my own money into Roma projects, so to show the businessmen among the Roma that they also have a responsibility. They should be giving monies to projects. They should be pilot projects themselves. Because being a Roma who made it is a responsibility, and you cannot hide from it. We are not in this luxurious situation. I think it's 50 years more to go until a Roma can be just a human as they are if he is successful.
Efter at have hørt Livia Jaroka, europaparlamentarikeren for Ungarn, fortælle om den generelle situation omkring romerne og hvad der gøres, så skal vi en tur til FRA i Wien. FRA står for Fundamental Rights Agency, og det er dermed et EU-agentur. Her er der tre eksperter, der vil komme med deres vurdering ud fra deres undersøgelser omkring romernes situation i EU-medlemslandene.
Sina Keller, you are dealing with the Roma issue. Could you elaborate a little bit on how you deal with the Roma issue?
Well, the Fundamental Rights Agency has a number of activities that center around issues of Roma inclusion and Roma integration. One of the things that we've been doing the past years is regular surveys where we're collecting data, statistics on the situation of Roma in a number of key areas. So that means the situation in education, in employment, in housing, and in healthcare. And we also look at the experiences of discrimination. So we've been collecting a lot of data on this.
Are you doing that within the European Union countries only?
Yes, we have data collection that covers all the 28 EU member states, well, 27, because there are no Roma in Malta, but we are covering all the EU member states, and then with the surveys, we've been focusing only on certain countries, but maybe my colleague will discuss this in greater detail later. Another thing that we've been doing is working at the local level. So we've been trying to understand what the dynamics are of Roma inclusion and to better understand what's working, what's not working, and the reasons why. And this we've been doing through a project which we call Local Engagement for Roma Inclusion. And this was done in 11 EU member states in 21 localities. and it's basically a collection of case studies where...
In which period?
This is actually a sort of ongoing project. We were in the field from 2014 until the end of 2016. And this year we've been trying to analyze all of the data we've collected and put together a summary report, which we will launch early next year.
From where do you get your data?
We are collecting this kind of data is directly from the field. So we've been working together with Roma communities and local authorities in these municipalities. And the other data that we've been doing through surveys is also done through contractors of ours. So we design the research and then we have contractors that help us to implement it in each of the countries.
Now, turning to your colleague, as you mentioned, Jaroslav Kling, what are you actually, in which way are you doing your surveys?
So the surveys are being done in standardized sample surveys. It means that we are not trying to capture all the Roma population in the countries where we do the survey, but only a sample, basically. In case of Slovakia, where we have, for example, somewhere around 400,000 Roma people, we interviewed about 1,100 Roma families, which is a representative enough group of people to give us the numbers which can be generalized to all Roma population in the country. And this, in this way, we do it in all the countries where there is a significant Roma population.
But you said you're going into the communities. Are they always to be found in communities?
This is, I would say, the biggest shortcoming of our surveys, that we are not able to cover those Roma who are not living in a somehow concentrated manner. It means that if they live dispersed among the majority population, with the public funding which we have available, it is not impossible to cover these people as well, because it would be very expensive to find these people in a way that we can then generalize the information to all population.
But the community means that they are settled down, and Romans are known not to settle down.
This is true only for certain groups of Roma and certain countries. In Eastern European countries, the EU member states, the Roma are mostly settled. They are not travelers as we know them from the countries like United Kingdom or France or even Sweden. So in Eastern European countries, where we have basically some 70 to 80% of EU Roma living, those are sedentary Roma. And for those who are traveling, who are moving from place to place on a regular basis, there we also try to do these sample surveys. And it is a little bit more difficult to find them and to interview them, but we are still able even to interview these traveling Roma. So, Gans de Voyage in France, the travelers in UK, Ireland, or Sweden, and so on. So, we are able to capture both.
But the interesting thing now comes to my mind, that the Roma issue is more or less a problem, or let's put it this way, a challenge to the local population of for instance, Danes or Germans or within the Union. Are you making surveys among the people living with Romas?
In 2011, when FRA did the Roma pilot survey, we were also interviewing the non-Roma people who were living in close proximity to the places where we did interviews with Roma. So we were asking also those non-Roma people. But in 2016, this was not possible due to the funding which we had available for the survey, and putting this on the weight, we decided that we would rather cover a bigger group of Roma population and make the survey comparable with standard surveys which are being used for the general population, like European Union. what is it, standard survey on income and living conditions, USILC or labor force surveys. And now we can compare the results for Roma with the results in a given country for general population. But of course, again, this is an average for a whole country. It doesn't reflect the experiences and the situation of those people who are sharing the same geographic territory with the Roma who were interviewed.
The reason why I ask you about the society surrounding the Romas is because the habits of many Romas are creating not only criminal atmosphere, but also a kind of a negative attitude by the population surrounding them, which lead to a pressure on the politicians to do something against those Romas, correct?
To a certain extent, correct. And again, I wouldn't generalize this because if I go back to 2011, when we did these interviews also with the non-Roma living close proximity to Roma, we saw that the attitudes of the non-Roma population, because they knew the Roma population living in their proximity, were different than the attitudes of general population, if we take it as an average in the country. They, for example, recognize that that the Roma are living in substandard conditions, that there should be some public policies to proactively help them doing better in schools, maybe some public efforts to get them into jobs and so on. It means some support activities to improve the situation of Roma. The negative picture of Roma population is usually done by the media, and the individual wrong activities or criminal activities are then being generalized to all Roma population, which is basically a bad job of media. But it is actually easy to sell.
May I come back to you again? But Ms.
Could I add something on that point?
Yes, you may.
Yeah. I think it's important not to associate criminality with a particular group such as Roma, because it may be the case that one or two individuals are engaging in some kind of activity, but we should be careful not to say that it's because they're Roma that they're doing this. Because
no,
then,
but you know, that's the attitude
yes,
among common
the
people.
The rhetoric builds that, oh, okay, we associate this particular ethnic group with this kind of activity, which we don't like. And I think in order to combat those stereotypes, we also have to dissociate these behaviors to a particular group and ask that anyone, whether it's a majority population or not, who is engaging in some kind of activity, what could be the reason for that? And we see that a lot of times poverty and exclusion can create the circumstances where you're almost left with no other choice, because you're being discriminated against when you try to get into the labor market, or prevented from accessing other services that would help you to have equal chances. And actually, from a lot of the interviews that we've done in the field with Roma communities, basically everyone has said, I want to get a job, I want to be able to provide my family with the same opportunities, or my children with better opportunities than I had. And we have to look at maybe the root causes of these things and see how can we integrate in that way, that we also create opportunities.
The question I actually wanted to ask you is, how do you feel the reactions are by the authorities you are asking? Are they, first of all, knowing what you're talking about and what they should focus on? And how are they reacting when they come up with data?
I think there's really a mix of experiences and attitudes from authorities. I think at the national level, we have political commitments. We have these national Roma integration strategies. And we've seen that a lot of authorities recognize that there is work that needs to be done in order to support Roma inclusion. At the local level, we've had a lot of mixed experiences. So some very positive, but also other experiences, unfortunately, very negative, where you've seen how election cycles create a lot of negative talk around Roma, or candidates for mayor saying, well, if I would help this community, it's not that I don't want to, but it would be seen poorly by my electorate, and maybe I would have less chances to be elected if I supported the Roma. But we've also seen very promising examples from mayors who are very engaged, who really understand the problems and maybe
such
also
as
need some support.
Could you give an example of the good reception of your work?
We had a very positive experience in actually a lot of these Eastern countries where we were doing this local engagement project. And one of the most engaged mayors was from a small village in Slovakia. And she was a former school teacher. And so she really knew the community and really wanted to support. And she was very cooperative in supporting all the ideas that we came up with together with the community about what they wanted to implement. And we ended up doing a small summer camp for the Roma and non-Roma children in the community. We also had positive experiences in Romania, actually, where we were trying to map out the situation of informal settlements. And they actually supported the mapping that we were doing and also were very welcoming of the documents we were able to produce to show how it's possible within the legislation to formalize to get legal documents for certain properties to help reduce this housing insecurity that was such a problem. So I think we do see a lot of local authorities who want to do something. Sometimes the will is there, but there are other obstacles that stand in the way where they don't necessarily have access to funding or other kinds of capacity.
Or don't want.
So it's a very mixed picture.
Yeah. May I come back to you, final question to you. Now you have made a report. To whom do you put this report?
The report is targeted at the policymakers, not only at the level of European Union, but also in individual countries. And actually the data which we have produced with this survey in 2016 and the survey in 2011 are being used by the policymakers in individual countries when they are updating or revising their national Roma strategies. Because until FRA and before that United Nations Development Program were running these surveys, the Roma policies were always done just based on perceptions or intentions, attitudes of some politicians, some policymakers. But now with the data coming from the survey or from qualitative researches like what Sheena mentioned, now the policymakers have facts to use for designing their policies in a way that they respond to real problems, not only the stereotypes and perceptions that somebody thinks this is how the Roma are. And actually, we could see that in many of countries where we did this survey in 2016, the governments are using the data. The non-government organizations are also using the data for their advocacy work, because when it comes from the EU institution like the Fundamental Rights Agency, then this data has already a weight. It has much bigger weight than if it comes only from some international organization or from some non-government organization. So both sides, the governments and the non-government organizations, are using the data. Each of them for a little bit different purpose, but they are using the data. The data is not that much used by ordinary people, but I would say that they don't need to, because the ordinary people should not have a need to seek for such data if their life was okay. Only in the case when they have some problems and they are, for example, approaching some legal action, if they are discriminated or if they are being deprived some of their rights, then they can start searching for such data or their legal representatives, and they are actually using the data as well.
I Wien, der besluttede jeg mig for at møde eksperterne fra altså Fundamental Rights Agency hos den europæiske union i spørgsmålet om romerne. Jeg fangede per telefon fra kontoret i Wien lederen Andrei Ivanov, som befandt sig til et møde i af alle steder Athen. Men det går jo også her i livet per telefon, så hvorfor ikke også med herr Ivanov? Og jeg spurgte ham, på hvad måde man ifra arbejder med romærerne.
Well, you answered two questions at least. The first, what can we achieve? I think we are getting better idea on two things. One, what is the depth of deprivation Roma populations face? And second, a better idea of what are the reasons, the drivers behind this deprivation. So seeing two in a package, I think is important, because it's not enough to know how good or bad things are. It's more important from policy perspective to know why, so that we can address the reasons and improve things. And I think our surveys exactly point to that direction. And not just our quantitative surveys, but also qualitative information collection, like the project in Lerry. I guess we discussed in depth with Sheena and Monica. I just wanted to make the connection between the two, not just about the figures, but also understanding the figures and the reality behind the figures. So I think our work is contributing to this angle.
But okay, come on.
Sorry, what was the second question that mm-hmm. was not noted down in writing?
No, I simply want to know if you have any feeling how they are implementing the suggestions you come up with, or at least the data you come up with.
You mean the policymakers,
yeah.
The different stakeholders?
Yeah.
It's difficult to generalize, but my impression is that the data is being watched very closely. Which suggests that it bears certain important messages. The fact that we receive a lot of questions, sometimes criticism or requests for clarification on the methodological grounds and so on, shows that it is being taken seriously. I think this is a very important thing. And the outcome of this increasing level of seriousness is the usage of our data in the European semester process, in Commission communications, but also at national level. It is referred to in the national Roma integration strategy, different analysis and so on. So it has a life of its own from certain point on, because different stakeholders use it for their purposes. But this is exactly why it is very solid in terms of methodologies, in terms of the evidence we bring out, and with all the associated responsibility for that.
But what level, political level, are you getting your reports? Who is receiving?
By definition, the data we are producing, the quantitative information, is capturing national level processes or outcomes. So recently we released a scoreboard of Roma integration showing how and in which area progress has been achieved, in which area there was
stagnation. Are you reaching committees on parliamentarian levels? Here's happening something with the recording. I have to, I carry on. Are you reaching political levels, for instance, committees in parliaments, ministries, or who are you sure get the messages?
It is a little bit tricky question, because the easy answer would be yes, we are reaching, because we are sending it out and disseminating it very broadly. But it would not, I think, answer your question entirely, because it's one thing to send out the publications or the links to the publications or the data set, but it is a slightly different thing to make sure that the addressees have basically read the information, have seen the data, have thought about it, and have internalized it somehow. So I cannot say yes, parliamentary committees or MEPs or MPs in EU member states have read the reports and have understood the data. We have done our best to reach out to them. How they use it is already beyond our control. But the analysis of different references to our data, different publications suggest that yes, they do. And the most recent example, I was participating last week in a hearing at the European Parliament on anti-Gypsyism, and our data was at the center of the debate during this hearing.
Very
so
good.
I would say it is reaching and it is being used.
The final question, Andrei Ivanov, is how do you think the expertise by the Council of Europe is included in what you're doing, or vice versa?
I would say that we are cooperating in a mutually complementary level with the Council of Europe. We are not a standard setting body, so we are following the standards and the definitions applied by the Council of Europe. For our sampling frames, we are using Council of Europe estimates of Roma population and so on. On the other hand, they are using or making use of our work in the area of local level integration, the methodologies which we apply. So I think we have influenced a little bit the approach they initially had on their ROMACT and ROMET project. So it is much more consensus building and partnership at local level building, so getting closer to our philosophy. So we are very much working not just referring to each other's publication, but basically engaging in an intellectual exchange, which is bringing the individual organizations' outputs to a different qualitative level.
Og så til en ekspert i Europarådet. Og jeg skal lige understrege, for det forveksles tit og ofte selv af mine kære kolleger i pressen. Europarådet har ikke en kæft med, undskyld, har intet med EU at gøre. Det hedder der enten rådet eller ministerrådet. Europarådet er en parlamentarisk forsamling, i øvrigt den ældste europæiske, som omfatter 47 medlemsstater i Europa. Og der sidder, jeg var lige vil sige selvfølgelig, en ekspert også om Roma-spørgsmålet. Netop fordi romerne cirkulerer i stort set alle medlemsstaterne. Lad os høre hans vurdering af, hvad det egentlig er, Europarådet kan gøre for romer.
Well, the Council of Europe has been one of the first organizations to address Roma issues in Europe. Mm-hmm. Because the first text already dates back from 1969, but in 1995 we started establishing some structures. So Roma division, committee, intergovernmental committee dealing specifically on Roma issues. Mm-hmm. And the Council addressing from different point of view, from the intergovernmental cooperation, so with this committee, which is called now CAHOM, which has 41 representatives out of the 47 member states. So all countries in Europe which have at least a slight Roma population. Mm-hmm. And here this committee is dealing more with recommendations to and guidelines to member states. It's not a monitoring body, but it gives, let's say, guidelines on access to justice, on which has just been adopted, or on education, housing, health, and so on. Then we have programs that we implement, usually program with the European Commission, on, for example, mediation, which is a very important element
where
we train Roma to especially Roma, but not exclusively Roma, to be mediators between the communities and the public authorities or hospitals or schools. So to improve, for example, the enrollment of Roma children in schools mm-hmm. or access to hospitals. We have also joint programs with the Commission on with local authorities. Where
via the Congress?
So it's there are two things. One is with, without really clear involvement of the Congress. It's a joint program which is called WOMACTID.
I just have to add the Congress for local and regional authorities. Yes.
Yes, of course. Mm-hmm. But the WOMACT program with the Commission is essentially there is no direct involvement of the Congress, although we do work with some local authorities. Where in fact we try to set up some kind of partnership between representatives of the Roma communities, the mediators, and local authorities to define what are the key priorities at local level. For example, paving a road or changing, you know, I mean, improving a school infrastructure, developing some cultural elements. Creating a Roma cultural center, example, and so on.
But
so
you, said,
Roma,
You said earlier that it's not a monitoring institution.
Yes.
In which way are you then overlooking whether implementations are happening or not?
So we have two ways. One is, of course, that we rely on our monitoring bodies of the Council of Europe, so the Framework Convention on National Minorities, when the member states are ratified and when they recognize Roma, which is not the case of Denmark, which does not recognize Roma under the Framework Convention. So here we cannot do that, but we do it with ECRI. We do it with the European Charter for Regional Minority
ECRI,
Languages.
ECRI, you just have to explain what ECRI
is. Yes, so with the European Commission Against Racism and Intolerance.
Yes.
That's ECRI. So, and also we cooperate quite a lot with the Commissioner for Human Rights, who regularly produces reports on member states, which of course address Roma issues.
Are you also in contact with the unions, FRA, the agency
yes, definitely.
For fundamental rights?
We do cooperate a lot with OAC, with FRA, with the European Commission, different directorate generals. Mm-hmm. So we have long-standing cooperation with different international partners, also United Nations. And the other way we do it is through our thematic visits under the CAROM, so the Intergovernmental Committee on Roma, mm-hmm. where we do some sort of peer-to-peer exchange of experience. So there is one country which has a problem, for example, in terms of implementation or want to change legislation.
Yes.
And then other partners who have experience on this come to that country, and then we produce a report where, in fact, we have some, it's soft monitoring, if you want, it's recommendations, it's suggestions, but it works very well because it's very, it's based on really needs and very in a small group and small brainstorming, mm-hmm. which is, and then we regularly come back to these issues after like 1 year to see if there has been some development after the visit.
But I'm revealing no secret to you saying that there are a lot of social problems, even in some cases criminal problems connected to the Romas, and thereby I didn't hear you mention the term xenophobia.
Yeah, we do. Well, there are different angles, of course. One is the access to social rights and basic social rights, which comes first with the lack of ID document that many Roma have, mm-hmm. or birth certificates. So that's some areas, some angles of approach. Then there is a discrimination, which is linked to the rise of populism, xenophobia, racism in general. And we address it also from that perspective. But then there is also, you mentioned criminality, which is, some petty crime which exists and we don't ignore that, which might have some reasoning also because of a number of barriers, but it also because of some internal problems within the community mm-hmm. with some leaders, mm-hmm. Which often is very located. In some towns, some communities, and these we do address them as well. We address the issues, for example, of human trafficking, which may be within the community or outside the community, and how Roma are victims, and especially women and children, from this. And we also address early marriages, for example. Mm-hmm. So we do address a number of issues which are have been for a long time taboo, mm-hmm. which now, thanks especially to the women and to the young people,
and are more open. Exploitation of children also, correct?
Well, that's a bit more complicated. Like, I mean, the children, usually they are very crucial for the Roma family. Mm. So, I mean,
they're protecting them better.
They're rather protecting them mm-hmm. in general, let's say. So, I mean, it can be a stereotype to say, you know, that they mistreat their children, or it's not because, for example, they are begging. Some women are begging with children on the streets, not necessarily a mistreatment of children from their own perspective, but more to, in fact, to protect, because maybe we had cases, for example, where in Italy, the parents were in shanty towns, and then some of them left their children. There was a fire, and the children burned in the fire. So having them next to them on the street is much better from that perspective. Mm-hmm. So,
are you satisfied with the work you're able to do?
Well, it has been working 17 years now on Roma, so there are ups and downs. It depends on the...
Is it a question of money?
Progress. Not necessarily, I would say. Okay. There is a question of will. I wouldn't say that it's a question of money, at least not from... not from at European level. There is a lot of money, and some member states don't necessarily use all the money for Roma, as you already know. But sometimes it's a question of sufficient money at national level, because many projects are really good, but they are funded by donors or external donations, and then they are very good, but then they're not sustainable, because they are depending on the fund. So one of our action, in fact, at the Council of Europe is to try to, when we see there is a good practice, to really recommend that this becoming part of the national policy, and that some funding is allocated to this. For example, mediation, we try to institutionalize mediators that they are recognized as a proper job, and then paid.
Is George Soros contributing to your work?
There has been some project with associated with Soros. Yes, there has been some traineeship, Roma traineeship at the Council of Europe, which were funded by the Soros Foundation Open Society. And now there is this initiative of our Secretary General to establish the European Roma Institute for Arts and Culture, ERIAC, which was launch this year in Berlin.
I know, I'm going to see them, yes.
And that's a joint initiative of Mr. Soros and Mr. Jagland.
Yes, that's why I asked you.
that's probably the major and clear cooperation with Soros. Otherwise, we have, I mean, obviously Soros and Foundation has financed quite a number of projects in Europe.
Det var så en udsendelse om romerne, om hvad det egentlig vil sige både at være en roma, og hvad det er, de udsættes for, og hvad de selv gerne vil, og hvad omverdenen siger til det. Så herfra i Strasbourg er det Peter von Kohl, der siger tak for nu, og tak fordi de lyttede, og tak til EU-nævnet for støtten.